United we stand, divided we fall. People like Benjamin Franklin, Abraham Lincoln, and just about anyone who believes we are better together have used this statement as a reminder that there is strength in unity. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't feel that spirit right now. I feel like our communities are more divided now more than ever, and I feel a little helpless in my desire for change. This season on the CEO Mindset, I guess my attempt to turn these lemons into lemonade is what I'm thinking. Today I want to talk about three letters that have become outcasts of the alphabet. DEI. Now, I have to admit, I really didn't understand why it was such an issue at the top of this new presidency. Of course, I knew what the letters stood for, what their actual definitions were, of course. I even knew from a Black woman's perspective why they were necessary, but I was unfamiliar with the reason the letters have become outcast with this particular administration. Listen, I know there are racists in this country, and your perspective on this subject might be different from mine. And if it is, there is definitely room for conversation and discussion. So I suggest if you want to have a conversation about it, head over to my forum. I will leave the link in the show notes, and let's talk about it in a very constructive and adult way. I'm open. I'm good. But for the sake of this particular podcast episode and this season, I really want to dive into this topic, and I want to encourage, empower, and educate people from my perspective and just from any minority's perspective, and really look at how we can strengthen ourselves, make different choices, help each other, hold each other accountable, all the things. But do it in a way that is also educational for people who don't look like me so that they understand our perspective. I'm just flabbergasted by the blatant disinformation and disregard for talent and skill because you want to hoard opportunity. It's so baffling to me that anybody would forego hiring the best candidate for the position or the best person for the contract simply because they don't meet certain demographic requirements. I'm blown away. So that said, let's dive into these words and see why they're making such a fuss in our society today. We're going to start with diversity. According to Webster's Dictionary, diversity is the condition of having or being composed of different elements. Last I checked, the United States of America was called the melting pot, okay? Shoot, I even remember a Schoolhouse Rock song called the Great American Melting Pot. I'm going to link that video down below because if you know, you know. It talks about the diversity of our country and how people dreamed of coming here. For whatever reason, we were the place that they wanted to come. And now it seems the truth is something different. Something different altogether. Now, I'm not here to debate the immigration issue with you guys. That is not the purpose of this. Okay? No, absolutely not. Not touching it with a 10-foot pole. I'm just wondering when did we decide as a country, not as a president, but as a country, that we were going to harden our hearts to the awesome pot of melted goodness? I read an article while researching this podcast episode that said, diversity describes the way in which we are different. A diverse workplace will be made up of people from a wide variety of backgrounds at every level of the business, from entry-level roles all the way up to management. But just because a workplace is diverse doesn't necessarily mean it is also inclusive. Now, before we move into the other outcast letter of inclusive, I want to revisit this idea of the melting pot. Now, if you think about some of your favorite comfort foods, like I like to equate things to food. I'm a foodie. I love food. So if you think about some of your favorite comfort foods, I just have a feeling that pasta is going to be one of those dishes. And you're going to think of things like Alfredo sauce. Oh my gosh, so yummy. Maybe you are a banana pudding girl. You're a sweet person and you love banana pudding. Or maybe you're a gumbo girly. Maybe, okay? The common denominator in these dishes is a roux. So what is a roux? It's the melting together of flour and butter and milk. And this is what turns these delicious dishes into what it is we love, okay? So consider your favorite dressing even. Maybe you're a health nut and you do salads. I like salads. You have to emulsify the dressing. There has to be something that pulls the oil and the vinegar together. So the key to successfully emulsifying a dressing is to add something like a Dijon mustard or a tahini or something like that. The point is to provide a stabilizer to the oil and the vinegar mixture. For the ingredients, as great as they are alone, you need them together to formulate the amazing dressing. Is your mouth watering yet? The point is that neither of these ingredients are going to work to create the dressing by themselves. You need the melting pot. You need the emulsification. You need the unification, the unity of all of these ingredients to create the amazing dishes that we love. The United States wouldn't be the amazing country that it is if it weren't for diversity. If it weren't the diverse country that we know it to be, that people were dying to come to, okay? In my opinion, businesses wouldn't be successful. They wouldn't have the success that they have if they were not diverse. So let's look at equity. The definition of equity is fairness or justice in the way people are treated. It's not hard, right? Why would the E be such a bad word? Why would it be outcast? Why wouldn't we want equity? We're the melting pot, for goodness sake. Who doesn't want to be treated fairly? Every human wants to be treated fairly. I don't know about you, but it's a fundamental desire for everyone I know. We can't deny the inequality various groups have faced in this country. I'm going to raise my hand because truly, the African-American community has been disenfranchised for the 400 plus years it has been here. I mean, even how we got here wasn't great. Listen, I can't speak for all African-Americans or all groups, okay? But I am confident that equity is a topic we're all acquainted with. To this day, I sometimes give a side eye to the behavior of people around me. Unfortunately, just because someone smiles in your face and says all the right things doesn't mean they are going to give you equal consideration for jobs or business opportunities. I'm sorry if this is offending people or if this is a fact that you don't like to hear, but it is the truth and it is one that I have experienced personally. Not all intentions are good intentions. Not all acts of kindness are acts of kindness for the reasons that you think they are. Sorry. The United States is still struggling to offer a living wage. Just like our minimum wage is not enough for people to live off of. And we're still struggling to overcome nepotism, racism, and ageism. Equality isn't just about the DEI that people talk about now, because it seems to me that when we use this term, we're talking about Black people. We're talking about minorities, brown people, and the fear that people are filling quotas, and that was the whole purpose of it. And guys, that's just not true. That is not the reason. And I'm going to get into this a little bit later. That is not what these policies were created for. Okay. But anyway, let me get back to my notes here, because I want to stay on task. I don't want to go into a rabbit hole. DEI, the policies are deeper, they're wider, and they're higher than that. As I read more and more, like, I did a lot of research for this podcast episode, and as I continue to read about it, these three outcasted letters, I found that the common denominator really of the complaints came down to the white male in America. Again, if you're one of my friends listening to this and you happen to be a white male, I am sorry if this fact offends you. It is true. It is. You can read it everywhere. The biggest complainers of this or these policies are white males in America. Okay, so don't come from me. I'm only telling you what I've been reading. In an article from USA Today, it listed one DEI complaint after another from this particular group of people. It even quoted Robbie Starbuck as saying, "The tenets of DEI demand that you discriminate against white people by giving preferential treatment to other races, harming white men and Asians." I can't believe anyone would believe this. We're in 2025, for crying out loud. Statistics from this same article talk about between 2020 and 2022, the number of Black executives rose by 27% in S&P 100 companies. This information was collected from the workforce data by the federal government. But even though using these policies, Black executives rose 27%, white men still dominated this corridor of power. Even with these recent gains, Black Americans are outnumbered 12-1 by white people in executive roles. The scale isn't balanced, but it's definitely not balanced, leaning heavier with people of color. So this fear that these DEI policies are somehow discriminating against white people, guys, that's who's in power. 12 times the amount. That's who's in power. So obviously, they're not being discriminated against. They hold the seats. Let's look at the I, the final letter, inclusion. Now, it describes the power employees have to make decisions and hold influence. Now, this definition alone forces us to revisit the definition of the word influence, okay? Now, we have influencers, social media influencers. What do? They have the power. They're being paid to influence someone's purchasing decision, okay? Think about the word influence for a minute. It is the power or capacity to have an effect on the condition or development of something or someone. With these two definitions, plus the information that I just told you about with regard to who's in power in corporate America, doesn't it stand a reason that, one, there is a world where a particular group who holds the highest positions in the organization could withhold opportunities from another group, okay, if they wanted to. Number two, given the history of our country, let's just think about this and be realistic and honest. Given the history of our country, isn't it also equally reasonable to assume that the same group that is in power would fail to choose the most qualified person for a position or for an opportunity or deny them the opportunities, period, simply because they don't look like them? Again, it goes back to nepotism, racism, ageism. I'm just asking you if it's reasonable. I'm just asking you if there is a world in which you would be able to imagine that someone who is in power and not checked would choose to use nepotism, racism, and ageism in their decision-making process. If you look at our history, if you look at our country's history, just want you to think about that. That's what I want you to think about. I'm not grasping at straws here. This is not unrealistic to think. There is no denying that these were the practices before DEI policies. These policies were created to combat these misfortunes because it was happening. And I can speak to this from a personal experience from high school on, watching people get opportunities and knowing that on a level playing field, I would have been the person that was most qualified. Or watching individuals in my high school cheating on standardized tests in the middle of the tests and them getting amazing scores and getting into schools. And I know that they cheated on the test. I know that I was making a better grade than them. I know that my GPA was better than theirs. Can I point to racism or nepotism as the culprit in these instances? No. But if you lay the cards out on the table, they'll tell the story. Okay. So I'm not talking about something that I don't know. I'm talking about something that I'm very familiar with. Even in my adult life, even in recent history, I can point to situations where it is quite questionable why I didn't receive an opportunity over someone else. Not talking about something I heard, talking about something I know. Do with that as you will. Now, I hate that these policies are necessary. I'm heartbroken. I really am, that our society has amnesia about this fact, but it doesn't make it less true. I also equally believe in the slogan, "United we stand, divided we fall." As a nation, if we do not come together on these issues that are very simple when you separate them and understand what each of these words mean, you know, diversity, condition of having or being composed of different elements, equity, fairness, or justice in the way we treat people, inclusion, having the power to make decisions and hold influence. Influence, the power or capacity to have an effect on the condition or development of someone or something. When we understand these words separated are things that we all value, regardless of what we look like. Okay? It's not anything that is, we're not asking too much, right? And we shouldn't have to have these policies. It pains me that it's even necessary, that we can't rely on human beings to afford other human beings equal opportunities based on their talents and their skills and their abilities. But it's true. Without these policies, we revert back to the way things used to be. And because of that, I wanted to talk about this subject because I want to encourage you to be the very best version of yourself. I want to empower you with the confidence to go after your dream, regardless of what is happening with policies or governments. Don't even look that way. Just you keep on your grind and operate as if none of that is happening, as if you deserve to be in the space, as if you deserve to have the opportunity. Stay focused. Be the best version of yourself. Now, I will say that without DEI, without a version of these policies, I'm not saying DEI has to be the policy. I know that these letters have become outcasts in the alphabet. But without a version of these policies, we do risk reverting to environments where bias and discrimination go more unchecked and the status quo remains unchallenged. Our nation will increasingly default to the belief that competence and privilege lie first and foremost with white men. And this is a quote from Reverend Adam Russell Taylor, president of the Christian nonprofit Sojourners. Those weren't my words, those were his. But that belief, he also says, contradicts our best civic and religious values and makes our workplace less competitive. Now, I agree with his assessment. I'm not going to lie. The policy doesn't have to be named DEI per se, but there does need to be policies like this that require companies to be diverse, to offer fair and equal treatment for their workforce, and to be inclusive with their opportunities, regardless of race, gender, or age. With policies that encourage diversity, equity, and inclusion as a priority, organizations signal their dedication to their workforce, and they signal the pursuit of the best candidate for the job as their overall goal. Now, these are my opinions, but I have a hard time believing anybody can argue with the logic. Facts speak for themselves. I'm not here to bash any group at all. I am here to empower, encourage, and educate my minority family to strive for greatness. I want you to abandon mediocrity and fix your eyes on goals that far exceed your wildest dreams, because we can do it. When we put our minds to it, we can get in the room. For those of us who are already in the room, look for opportunities to pull someone up. No matter where you are in your space, you are leaps and bounds ahead of someone and you are far beneath someone else. So your goal is to be the best version where you are. Reach down, pull someone up, and reach up to be pulled up. But you've got to be ready for the pull up. So if you listen to last week's episode with Chandra Douglas, she gave us some amazing pearls on how to be ready for the pull up. But she also told us what we needed to do to pull up others ourselves. So if you've not listened to that episode, I highly encourage you to do so. There will always be naysayers. There are always going to be haters. And there are always going to be pessimists. But you are the only one who has the pen to write your story. Regardless of your goal, make sure that you are constantly evolving for growth and understanding. Be open to failing forward, because with every attempt, you're learning and you're getting closer to your success. If you're not sure where to start, I got you, girl. I have the answer. It starts with you getting intimately acquainted with you. So my program, Project CEO, helps you do just that. I want you to use the link in the show notes to go ahead and add your name to the wait list. Inside this program, I guide you through the process of becoming the CEO of your life and then using your personal leadership skills to leverage your value everywhere you go. I want to thank you for listening today. I really appreciate it if you made it this far. Go ahead and subscribe to the podcast so that every time a new episode comes out, you will have access to it. We are also found on all of your major podcast platforms. Look for my logo, because there are other podcasts named the CEO Mindset. Go figure. Great minds, right? Anyway, I would love it also if you would share a review. If you like this episode, if you like other episodes, please share a review. Thanks again so much for listening, and I'll see you back here next week for another episode. Bye, guys.